RCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. FAA investigators are headed to the Toronto airport hours after a Delta flight from Minneapolis crashed and flipped over upside down, losing a wing. ABC's Aaron Katursky.
Both American and Canadian authorities will investigate, try to figure out what happened. We know that there was snow, there was wind, there was a chill in the air, but we don't know whether any of that was a factor.
All 80 aboard survived, 15 taken to the hospital. A federal judge is expected to rule within a day after expressing skepticism about a request by states to block Elon Musk's government efficiency office from accessing sensitive databases and firing employees. Israeli Army troops will stay temporarily deployed at five locations in southern Lebanon, past tomorrow's deadline to withdraw under the U.S. brokered ceasefire agreement, that from an Israeli security official, to ABC News. Lebanon's prime minister says to Israel, no, you gotta go, and without delay. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
The Vernon County Sheriff's Office was called to investigate a reported road rage incident that allegedly occurred south of Viroqua Friday night. Vernon County Sheriff Roy Torgerson reports the arrest of Justice William Kelly, 49, of Cuba City, as a result. At approximately 6:30, the Sheriff's Office 911 Dispatch Center received a call from a motorist traveling on U.S. Highway 14 near the intersection of State Highway 27 in rural Viroqua in the town of Franklin. The caller reported that while following another vehicle, that motorist discharged a firearm multiple times from their vehicle. The caller described the other vehicle but was no longer following it. About 5 minutes after the initial call, the sheriff's office received a second call from a motorist indicating that another vehicle contacted the rear of the second caller's vehicle. The second caller was forthright about having a firearm or firearms in the vehicle and will wait at a convenience store on the south side of the city of Viroqua to file a report. The Viroqua Police Department, including the dispatcher, immediately assisted the sheriff's office with the investigation ongoing at different locations. Evidence led investigators to believe the two calls were associated. There were children in both vehicles. No one was injured. The second caller was identified as 49-year-old Justice William Kelly. He cooperated with the investigation, and a firearm was recovered from his vehicle. Justice Kelly was transported to the Sheriff's Office Detention Center and booked on potential charges of second-degree recklessly endangering safety. Kelly is expected to appear in Vernon County Circuit Court on Monday. The Vernon County Department of Human Services Child Protective Services assisted, and the children were released to a responsible person associated with them.
For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
The Brewers' Yelich says he's ready. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Brewers outfielder Christian Yelich says he expects to be ready to play on opening day. Yelich at spring training telling JS Online about his decision to have season-ending surgery after dealing with back pains the last couple of years.
Certainly the pre-op was pretty uncomfortable to me. Once it kind of got to the point where I think it was like right before the All-Star break, that's kind of when it started getting pretty bad. And then tried to keep going post-All-Star break and, you know, those last few years just trying to, you know, manage it on a day-to-day. So hopefully that's a little bit better and a little easier and don't really have to deal with those multi-week absences or anything like that anymore. But yeah, it's kind of nice to be on the other side of it and hopefully a lot less problems going forward.
College basketball, the Wisconsin Badgers at home tomorrow night against Illinois, 7:30 at the Kohl Center. The Badgers coming off that huge win over Purdue on Saturday, 94-84. John Tonjay leading with 32 points. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cold weather advisory in effect. Mostly clear and bitter cold tonight. A low of 15 below. Wind chill to 25 below. Mostly sunny and staying cold tomorrow. A high of 5 above. And partly sunny and near 10 above Wednesday. Right now it's 1.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Marquette University professor and pollster extraordinaire Charles Franklin.
Deporting immigrants who are in the U.S. illegally. 60% support that. But when we ask the same question and just add at the end, including those with jobs and no criminal record, then support drops to just 43%.
Wisconsinites have a sense of fairness.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself, surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. Luke Mathers will be here for a little Tuesday Tangents with Luke, and we'll preview Governor Evers' budget address. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app. This is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. Thank you for tuning in, listening. You can be a part, 855-752-4842. Jess P.S. working hard on the board for you. And jazz as hell, our pal Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy from the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay, checking in from the Sunshine State. No more key lime pie. The scallops are gone, so it's time to talk. Harvey, welcome back, man. How you doing?
I'm doing great, and it's good to see you guys by way of this StreamYard.
Yeah, man, you gotta love the tech. You look like you got a little sunshine, man. You're looking good.
You look tan.
Oh my God. I'm super jealous over here, Harvey, but we appreciate you checking and taking a little time out of your vacation / work holiday. I know you're giving a speech next week. We'll talk about that perhaps a little bit as well. Harvey, I wanted to start with the tweeting, the truthy social message coming out of the White House, specifically Donald Trump on Saturday, according to the New York Times, posted a social media single sentence that appears to encapsulate his attitude as he tests the nation's legal and constitutional boundaries in the process of upending the federal government and punishing his perceived enemies. The one sentence, quote, "He who saves his country does not violate any law." First showed up on his Truth Social, then on X, and then by late afternoon, he pinned the statement to the top of his feed. You got to make sure you got to see that. And then the official White House account on X posted his message in the evening. The quote is a variation of one sometimes attributed to Napoleon Bonaparte, although its origin is unclear. Let's assume it's Napoleon. Harvey, historically speaking, what's your interpretation of what Donald Trump is saying?
Well, why don't we go right to the heart of the matter? Right to the heart of the matter.
All right, let's do this.
Okay. Donald Trump is signaling that he may at some point, I don't know how soon, find a way to suspend the Constitution. I think that's what he's signaling. And I that's heavy, I know.
Yeah, come on, man. Wow. I get it. Why tell me, go dive into that. Why do you think that is?
I mean, look, the fact is that he doesn't know how the Supreme Court is going to respond to the suits that will make their way up to the court.
Yeah.
Now, he can assume that he's going to be in good shape because they basically licensed a president, you know, during the term to do almost anything practically, right? I mean, their decision that absolved him of the kinds of prosecutions that if the Democrats had been sharp about it, would have pursued earlier. Having said that, the fact is that he's not going to want it in the first year. He's not going to want to suffer massive embarrassment. Seriously speaking, I have this feeling that he would love to see I mean this sincerely, mm-hmm. that he would love to see massive massive protests on the scale of the Black Lives Matter protests after the killing of George Floyd in Minnesota, because he would love to be able to declare some kind of state of emergency. I mean, he's clearly out to do in law. I mean, he doesn't care. He doesn't know anything about it, and he doesn't care. And Elon Musk is acting as if the law doesn't exist. So, you know, they're pushing me out. Look, I mean, I know that's heavy for late Monday afternoon on President's Day,
yeah,
no less,
yeah,
on President's Day. But I've had to confront that possibility, because otherwise, why would one say, basically, that why would he say that he stands, that whatever he's going to do, he's going to rationalize whatever he does is saving the nation because it's going to make America great again. So how does he present it? He presented as, you know, if you save the nation, you're not breaking any laws. Well,
but isn't that a subjective, you know, comment? I mean, saving the nation. What does that actually mean? In what regard, and defined by whom? And what are the measures thereof? And I get it. I agree with you.
The pictures of everyone, like those Republicans and MAGA types surrounding him, who are bowing,
yeah,
to him, basically, that makes him out to be, in quotes, savior. Okay, Jesus saved him to save America, that kind of thing. So look, I mean, that's the take that I've come to. I for days I found ways of joking in my head about it, but no, I think it's pretty serious. And anyhow, so the fact is that let us hope that the courts are not bowing to him in the same way that, you know, those images in the pictures have Republicans and MAGA types doing it. So I must have that. I didn't mean to smack you in the head with that. But.
Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salvia Show. That's Harvey K. smacking me in the head, Professor Emeritus of Democracy at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. I got a couple of reactions to that. Not only do I guess I agree in smaller terms to that, but I also think it's more of a stand back and stand by, or at least as much as a stand back or stand by as before. Because if one of his mega supporters, one of the J6ers, were, you know, in the course of trying to quote unquote save the country, however that is defined, violate the law, well, he's just going to pardon them, right? It seems to me to be more of that thing, more of a call to arms, call to the troops, keep them on stand back and stand by. But I guess I have a question on the legal thing. But the U.S. Supreme Court allowed for Donald Trump to not be prosecuted for quote unquote crimes. He can't do it while he's, you know, as president. But what about the effect of what he's trying to do? For example, he wants to get rid of some of these IGs, right? And some of these folks are there because of legislative law. And I think these are some of the cases that are going to go forward. Now, he can order them. He can make orders, but they can be found to be unconstitutional or even illegal that he may not be prosecuted for. But that doesn't mean that the actions that he ordered continue to go forward. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's as president, he can write whatever executive orders he wants to. The question is to what extent those will stand. Okay, and basically, as my understanding, they are in, what's the word? I don't know the legal term, but like in contravention, something like that, to what the law says.
Yeah.
Okay, how inspector generals are appointed, the grounds upon which they can be dismissed, which he completely ignored. Okay, because he didn't have any kind of evidence of malfeasance or any other activity.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I will also say this. Let's put it in another context for a moment, because you're saying he's, you know, telling the MAGA, you know, the worst of the MAGA types to stand by, you know, stand, mm-hmm. you know, be prepared kind of stuff. But it's also the case that the Democrats are right now, I don't know where they are. You know, they're like wallflowers in the political scene right now. And not unlikely, he just wants to put fear into the hearts and minds of liberals and progressives. Okay. And because imagine this, you want to cross Donald Trump? Do you want to be the one to cross Donald Trump? I mean, to my mind,
yes.
When he says something like that,
yeah.
Well, of course we do.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Of course we do. But I have yet to really get a sense that the folks like Schumer and Jeffries are rallying troops for the sake of turning them out in any way.
Mm.
Okay. So anyhow, I mean, I'm looking forward to perhaps seeing, look, state attorneys general folks, they fought him last time. Okay. And as I think I've said, my daughter was herself involved by way of her position in the state of New York attorney general's office. Part of that this time, there'll be a lot of suits coming forward, and it'll be a matter of time before, you know, the suits come. Although, you know, so far the judges are probably our best defense. I mean, yeah. Amazingly so. I mean, look, I'm going all over the place here because it just dawns on me, of course, in New York City, the people that he's fired or compelled to resign, you might say, okay, those folks were conservatives.
Yes.
I mean, they weren't liberal. They were nowhere near progressive. In fact, did they owe their positions in any way to his appointing them? I think in one
of them,
one
yes. That's my understanding. Right. Yeah.
Right. I mean, in that sense, we can. I mean, it is wild, and it makes one laugh at the irony of all that. But it's also the case that he's threatening. I don't know. Even the one person who didn't resign, of course, did so because they needed somebody to do what was inevitable, send it to the court.
Sooner or later, someone will sign the document. Now, this is specifically about dropping charges against the mayor of New York, Adams, right? So then now all of a sudden you have, I believe it was, Daniel Sassoon.
Danielle.
Yep. And U.S. Attorney Hagan Scotton, conservatives that have resigned, and she kind of lit them up on her way out the door, specifically talking about Beauvais. And let me quote here. Although Mr. Beauvais disclaimed any intention to exchange leniency in this case for the mayor, Adams' assistance in enforcing federal law, this is the nature of the bargain laid bare in Beauvais' memo. So basically, my understanding is the mayor allowed for greater cooperation with ICE, right? And that was the quid pro quo to get charges dropped against the mayor. And now, not only did those folks resign, but some of the other, like four other members of the staff there resigned as well today. So this continued fallout. So, I mean, that gives, does that give you some solace, Harvey, these conservative prosecutors at SDNY would go against the president on this?
Yeah, especially, I think Danielle,
Sassoon,
she clerked, I think, for one of the Supreme Court one of the conservative Supreme Court justices. So yeah, it gives me a little hope who knows, she may have called her mentor and said, you know, this is unacceptable. I don't have an inside dope on that. I'm just...
But this is the situation that we're in now. So we have some of these.
Oh, wait, it was Scalia, as I recall.
She worked for Scalia?
Who I guess is not,
he's not around anymore. All right, so if that's the case, we could look it up at the break and confirm that for our folks. This prosecutor, this conservative prosecutor, this clerk for Scalia, presumably, and refusing to go along with this, to go along with dropping, you know, valid charges against the mayor of New York. And in the last month or two, certainly we've seen the mayor of New York cozy up to the Trump administration, because that's what happens when you got a guy with pardon power in charge of the DOJ. You know, they all go about weaponizing everything. Well, what is Donald Trump doing? That's exactly what he's doing. He's cutting deals to drop charges, of legitimate, valid charges brought by a conservative prosecutor at the SDNY to cut a deal. That's quid pro quo. That is corruption defined. Good to see some folks stepping down. There continues to be fallout from this. Folks, more Harvey K coming back with your calls as well. 855-752-4842. Stick around.
News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. In September 2024, Arizona Secretary of State Adrian Fontes announced an error in state voter rolls involving 97,000 voters, revolving around a state DMV data error. The number has risen to nearly 200,000, and an easy fix still hasn't been found. In 1996, Arizona began requiring proof of citizenship when obtaining a driver's license. Since 2005, election officials have asked registered voters with licenses issued before 1996 for proof of citizenship. But if a driver's license issued before 1996 needed to be replaced, it was accidentally given a new date of issue, and election officials never knew to ask for citizenship documents. VoteBeat Arizona and the Arizona Mirror report that the investigation is ongoing, but that the number affected has now ballooned to 200,000 voters. The Arizona Supreme Court allowed affected voters to vote in November's election, but now the legislature is considering an emergency measure, House Bill 2038, directing election officials to contact the voters and request citizenship documents. If not supplied within 35 days, the voter's status would change to not registered, though voters could reactivate their registration by providing documentation right up to Election Day. After the 2026 general election, those voters would be dropped. We have text of the bill and VoteBeat's reporting linked at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Carmelo Anthony for The Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, you're innocent until proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presumed innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show. Where are you going? You can join us, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay, joining us from the Sunshine State. Harvey, thank you for doing so. Yes, let us confirm. Sassoon, this is Danielle Sassoon, who left. She resigned SDNY after Beauvais told her to drop the charges. She did, in fact, according to the AP, clerk for Scalia. So this is not some woke liberal prosecutor. This is a 38-year-old who graduated from Yale, I believe. I stand corrected. Graduated from Harvard in 2008 and Yale in 2011. So, 38 years old, being told what to do, took some issue with that, has resigned. There's also been other resignations, Harvey, if I can find my notes here. Four more folks today, to my understanding, have also resigned, according to the New York Times. Four top officials, four deputy mayors to Eric Adams, are leaving, quote, to stay faithful to the oaths we swore to New Yorkers and our families. I mean, I think
one
that's
of those, one of those deputy mayors, I believe, is responsible for the police department. So his purview was really challenged by this, Eric Adams decision to cooperate with Trump. I believe that's
my understanding as well. Rep Dan Goldman, according to Politico, also took big issue with this. He called this outright extortion. This is way, way, way outside the bounds of the Department of Justice. He said on Sunday, it's the most significant event since the Saturday night massacre, referring to the 1973 firing of Special Prosecutor Archibald Cox during the Watergate scandal. Now, Beauvais was reaching out. Beauvais, you know, made this order saying that you got to drop these charges because, you know, it's interfering with his ability to run his election. He's running for office again, right? And his ability to cooperate with the Trump administration as it pertains to their immigration crackdown. So, I mean, it seems very straightforward. And now not just the conservative prosecutors, and you have these other four folks, these top officials from his office, the deputy mayors also resigning. My understanding, Harvey, is that the governor of New York can excuse Mayor Adams from the mayor of New York. So that's something you think she should exercise that power if she has the ability to do so?
Well, she might now have a pretty good rationale for doing so. And that is, if these deputy mayors are resigning, then his ability to govern may be in question. And therefore, they may need better leadership to make sure that New York City is not,
Yeah, I mean, rats from a ship. Here's the quote from a
Politico. By the way, I just have to tell you, I don't mean to waste your time.
No, this is great. This is what we're doing, man.
So, PDNY stands for Police Department of New York. FDNY is Fire Department of New York. And every time you say SDNY, I know we're talking about the Southern District, but I keep thinking it's the Sanitation Department. That her job was to clear out the garbage.
Cleaning up the crap. Kind of was.
I just keep thinking of that rat with a piece of pizza in New York. 855-752-4842.
Sorry, I didn't mean to.
No, that's correct. Last week, Acting Deputy Attorney General Emile Beauvais directed the Justice Department to drop charges against Adams. In the memo, he wrote that the case, quote, improperly interfered with the mayor's reelection campaign and could make it more difficult for him to help Trump execute his immigration crackdown. Yeah. Now, Goldman, again, we talked about Goldman before. He said that Beauvais' move signals concerning future for the Justice Department. The politicization of the Department of Justice is really bad and dangerous way. It has to stop, and someone needs to put a stop to it. Now, Harvey, how do we... The Republicans have said that the prosecutions of Donald Trump, the various prosecutions, obviously there were many, and against the J6ers and so forth, this was all politicization of the Justice Department. But now we see that they're coming in and making these moves, seemingly doing exactly what the conservatives Meg has accused the Democrats of doing, Harvey.
Yeah, well, let's be clear about it. This is... The J6ers and Donald Trump staged an insurrection on January 6th. By the way, have they banned that word from the lexicon yet?
Not yet.
I mean, they staged an insurrection, okay? And it doesn't require an order to the Justice Department to pursue insurrectionists, okay? That's part of their task, basically, right. Under the Constitution.
That's why they exist.
Okay. Now, in this instance, Donald Trump's Attorney General, is it an acting Attorney General, right?
Yes.
Is it?
Yes. Okay. This was Beauvais, yes.
Right. Is basically pursuing, issuing a directive, back off the mayor of New York, when the mayor of New York may well be himself he broke the law, number one. And number two, the line between police and ICE is for most cities of serious line that you do not cross. Okay. So, by the way, every time they speak like that and every time, and people hear that kind of stuff, I think it's part of this drive to literally silence Americans and corrupt their thinking. This is all part of that. It's unacceptable kind of stuff. And the Democrats should be every single day shouting, what they used to call it, blue murder, bloody murder kind of thing.
Blue murder and bloody murder. They didn't do great in the last election. Democrats need real leadership right now. Perhaps we can talk about that. I also did see that the new head of the DNC, he's going out on tour, Harvey. He's going to be hitting Wisconsin and some other states. I don't know if that's going to cut it. I mean, there have been some protests today, President's Day, no king on President's Day kind of thing. We had some here in Madison as well. That is some reaction. But I'd love to see, Kamala Harris, out just going off on people. I'd love to see the governor of New York, Hochul, remove this guy if this is the case. If you have now these four other folks resigning, I mean, if you don't have an administration, how are you going to govern? How are you going to win? I mean, and the obvious corruption when you have conservative prosecutors resigning rather than fulfill the request of Beauvais and the Trump administration. Folks, come back with us. Harvey Kay, Professor Emeritus of Democracy from the University of Wisconsin-Green Bay. Plus more of your calls, 855-75-CIVIC.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
The Assembly Education Committee passed the bill last week for reversing DPI standards. It would reset state report card standards to levels set in 2019-20, align grades 3 through 8 with national standards, and restore high school testing standards to levels set in the 2021-22 school year. Critics argue the DPI changes mask poor performance. State Superintendent Jill Underley has said standards weren't lowered and the changes were made through a transparent process with input from educators. There's only one statewide race on Tuesday's primary ballot in Wisconsin. It's for Superintendent of Public Instruction. The Constitutional Office charged with oversight of the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction. The position is officially nonpartisan. Incumbent Jill Underley is seeking a second four-year term. Underley previously served as superintendent of the Pecatonica Area School District in southwest Wisconsin. Challenging her are Jeff Wright, Sauk Prairie School District superintendent and former Democratic candidate for state assembly, and Brittany Kinzer, an educational consultant from Milwaukee. Voters will narrow the field to two on Tuesday for the April general election. Residents in the town of Buena Vista will also have a local primary election for town supervisors. Five candidates are vying for two spots. Names as they will appear on the ballot are Jake Kleckner, Zachary Tomey, Ronald Morris, Gordon Brockway, and Jeremiah Robert Ringelstetter. Other positions up for election in the spring general election include Clerk Melissa Allen and Van Nelson, and Treasurer Angela Larson and Barbara Brockway.
For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. In Sometimes True Love Isn't Enough News, it appears Kanye West and his soulmate, Bianca Censori, are headed for divorce. The couple has been married a little over 2 years, which isn't too shabby by Hollywood standards. Yahoo Entertainment says things went from bad to worse after the Grammys stunt, where West instructed the love of his life to drop her coat and, quote, make a scene. Censori will receive a one-time payment of $5 million as a settlement. That's some serious scratch and should be enough to get her some new threads. Game of Thrones fans, there is another spinoff from the wildly popular HBO show headed your way. This is the third spinoff from GOT and will focus on the House of Targaryen. Another GOT spinoff, A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms, will hit the little screen later this year. According to Deadline, the franchise is more likely than not going to roll out several other spinoffs in the coming years. And why wouldn't they? We'll keep watching. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cold weather advisory in effect. Mostly clear and bitter cold tonight. A low of 15 below. Wind chill to 25 below. Mostly sunny and staying cold tomorrow. A high of 5 above. And partly sunny and near 10 above Wednesday. Right now it's 1.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Earl Ingram.
Mayor Johnson, we used to have a saying called the switcheroo, talking about one thing while behind the scenes there's a greater issue.
This man was elected president of the United States to focus in on making everyday life more affordable. But our push to remove lead service lines, our health department, are impacted by the things that the Trump administration have targeted since they've been in office. Yeah, it's been a huge switcheroo. It's not been about saving folks money. I mean, this is going to cause more pain.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jane Mattner and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, many Democrats wondering, what are our elected officials doing to push back? Representative Mark Pocan joins us. We'll ask. Don't miss it.
Mattner on air, weekday mornings at 10. Whatever say.
Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Got some callers, got some texters. We'll get to you momentarily, we do promise. Harvey Kay, Professor Emeritus of Democracy from the University of Wisconsin-Green Bay, checking in from the Sunshine State. Got Jess Pius working hard on the board. Harvey, we text a lot, me and Harvey and Jess. It's a lot of fun. Thank you for sharing. One of the things that you sent over was from the Midwestern Rural Radical. Democrats need real leadership right now. They don't have it. I want to read just one paragraph, and I want to get your sense of where you think things are right now, Harvey. As this author writes, the reasonable questions are, where are the Democrats? What power do they have? And here's a couple of examples that I've also noted over the course of the last several weeks that this author writes, and I think it's worth repeating. Instead of subpoenaing Elon, California Democrat Ro Khanna skipped the vote in a move consistent with his relationship with Musk. Instead of using his leverage with the looming government shutdown on March 14th, Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer penned a letter waving his finger at Republicans. Instead of having a meeting about slowing down the business of the House, Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries and other Democrats on the House leadership blamed liberal groups for encouraging people to call their representatives. As the author writes, if they feel that way, they should resign and go home. Showing contempt for your base and concerned citizens is a slap in the face. Voters would not be blamed for voting against Democratic incumbents in the 2016 primaries if this is the response they get. You know, Harvey, the lack of action and indeed some of this seemingly purposeful no action is still, you know, that's still a decision. You know, you can make a decision not to do something. That is a decision. And I think it strikes home. It strikes a chord, at least with me. What's your sense on that observation of some of the leadership in the Dem Party right now, Harvey?
Well, I'm ashamed of them, to be blunt about it. I'm ashamed of them. I mean, right now, as another friend of mine said, they should have organized a road show already, where they're out on the road decrying what is happening and calling upon Democrats and, you know, disturbed Republicans to make themselves heard. But we're not seeing anything like that whatsoever. You know, I've always wondered. I wondered this in 2018 and 19. I wonder, what did Trump have on all these people?
Yeah, right.
You know, I mean that we get this kind of silence. I mean, what? Look, I don't even want to hear the word resistance as a term. I don't want resistance. That's we're beyond that, right?
Yeah.
We're confronting, as I said before, a serious constitutional crisis, which could get even worse. And by the way, that piece that I sent you, that was by a former student of mine. I won't mention his name right on the air without his permission, but there's a former student of mine who lives down in southern Wisconsin. And the other friend of mine who said what she would love to see is somebody who lives in New York and has been a very active progressive member of the DNC in the past. So anyhow, it's,
well,
it's
you frustrating. Taught him, you taught him well, Harvey. We appreciate it, man. a little bit here to your point.
Last thing I just mentioned. So my friends, these are down here in Florida, as I've for many years, almost 20 years, worked with a veterans group, a progressive veterans group here in Sarasota called Florida Veterans for Common Sense, which I don't need to go into right now, but these are mostly Vietnam era veterans. And I just got a very late text running like 10 hours late telling me where the protest today in Sarasota would have been. And I sent back to him, I said, a little late, you know, a little late.
Yeah, there were anti-Trump protesters all over the country today.
Right, there's energy which doesn't seem to depend at all upon the Democratic leadership.
Right.
And the question is, will the Democratic leadership figure out that it's their task to start articulating a Democratic, small d, Democratic vision and project that these people can rally behind? Bam.
NBC News reporting, the new DNC chair kicks off a multi-state tour, Ken Martin. A little bit on that. His trip starts on Monday. Bring him to Pennsylvania and Wisconsin, as well as Texas and Missouri. They include meeting with U.S. steelworkers, meeting with state Democratic Party chairs in Illinois and Missouri, door knocking for Democratic state House candidates. And what else here? Here's a quote from the new chair, Ken Martin, from NBC. It's time for the DNC to get out of D.C. That means getting out of our comfort zone, having tough but honest conversations with voters, and showing that we're willing to fight for people. Democrats will win by organizing everywhere, competing across the ballot in every community, and uniting working families from all backgrounds. It's time for Dems to show up in all 3,244 counties, red, purple, blue, and make our case.
Sweet, but I'm not impressed.
Those are the right words, though, right? I mean, isn't that what you want to hear?
No, I wanted to hear 2 days ago. Now I want to start hearing what it is that the Democrats are going to represent. I go on about this all the time with you.
Do it again. I want to hear it again. Tell them once. Tell them again.
The last 20 years of my career and more, I have been desperately trying to get Democrats, liberals, progressives, they're all in the same boat as far as I'm concerned. They are completely either ignorant or literally have turned their backs on history. History should tell them what to do. And I don't mean specifically the words or anything else, but the fact is we have many good examples from the past century. And I'm thinking especially, you know where I'm going, of Franklin Delano Roosevelt, okay? But not only him. There were great senators like La Follette of Wisconsin, like Norris of Nebraska, like Wagner of New York, and others who basically argued for a working people's Democratic Party, okay? And it worked. In fact, keep in mind, La Follette comes out of the progressive wing, of the Republican Party in Wisconsin. And in 1936, FDR turned his back on the Democrats in Wisconsin in favor of La Follette. Now, that's the kind of leadership we want. We want people who are prepared to engage, and not just themselves, not just their peers, but willing to engage the American people in support of progressive in actions that will enhance and empower working people. So I want to hear Democrats start talking about Franklin Roosevelt. I want to hear them start talking about the past, which is theirs, okay, for them, and take some guidance from that history. You know, back in 2016, after we lost that election, I wrote a piece for Moyers. I don't know if I've ever shared that one with you. And basically what it said is sorry, I don't mean to use the old Vietnam War talk. Maybe the Democrats need re-education camps for themselves. Not re-education as in propagandizing stuff, but there ought to be courses for Democrats, and maybe even quizzes and tests, so they have to know who FDR was, what it was he accomplished, and what the labor movement in tandem with FDR accomplished. That's the kind of thing. Let them start talking about where they're going. Yeah, sure, let's have conversations, but let's make it clear. You're the Democratic Party, and there are things you should know, and there are things you should be saying to inspire people. People are not as dumb, and they're not as amnesiac as these Democrats seem to be. That's my point.
Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salvi Show. That's Harvey Kay, Professor Emeritus of Democracy from the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. Great point, Harvey, and I certainly appreciate it. And I think especially if you look at seemingly some of the playbook coming out of MAGA right now is also has historical overtones to it. We've seen this before. You know, this has all happened. And what was the consequence of those actions in the past? Well, it was those folks that you mentioned, man. It was La Follette. It was FDR. Those were the folks, and those were the ideas and the actions that helped overcome what literally we're seeing in this authoritarian movement in the MAGAs right now. Like, literally, that's right. It's right here, right now. Their history, quote-unquote, our history, our entire country's history, world history, we've seen this. It's ebbing and flowing, and it doesn't repeat, but sure sounds the same. 855-752-4842. A couple of callers. Let's get to them. Tom from L.A., you're up. Welcome, Tom. What do you got for us?
Well, as you know, I'm a proud FDR Democrat.
Yes.
And Harvey, what I would say, I don't understand. You know, the Democrats must be just scared to death with Citizens United and money in politics that they can't stand up and say, you know, hey, you know, these economic royalists, I mean, take it after these people directly, immediately, instead of playing footsie. You know, if they're playing the Republicans are playing the Hitler playbook, why don't we play the Franklin Delano Roosevelt playbook? I mean, this is just getting ridiculous. And the thing is, Democrats need to be bold. They need to stop being so, if someone asks you a question, just say yes or no. And just sit there and just keep going with the fact that you have, I mean, you have a billionaire. Everyone in the country knows we get a billionaire that's running the country right now. So what the F? I just don't understand.
All right, Tom, I appreciate it, man. Thank you for holding on to the economic royalist. And I think he also has a good point, too. And we, our pal Maggie Dawn talks about this, her show 2 to 4 right here on Civic Media before me. Sound like a human being. You know, don't sound like a politician when you're talking to people. Talk like a real person. Don't be coached. Don't do those things. Make some mistakes. Say the wrong word. You know, be a normal person when you talk about these issues. And I think that goes a long way. I like the economic royalist. Harvey, your thoughts?
Well, in fact, after we come back from the next break, I should read everyone what FDR said in 1936 about those economic royalists, if I haven't done it often enough.
All right, we will, yes. And when we come back from the break, and we got a couple more minutes in the segment, we'll take some more calls, 855-752-4842. Don't forget, we end the show, tell us something good. We end the show on a positive note here, folks. That's how we roll. 855-752-4842. Pat from the MKE, you are next. Welcome, Pat. Thanks for your patience. What do you got for us?
Hello, Dom and Harvey. I'm Pat from Milwaukee. I was raised by Roosevelt Democrats and turned into a yippie in my youth. but the fact is that Trump doesn't know any history or anything. But when he spouts nonsense like it's okay to if I'm saving the country, that is a kind of a paraphrase of some of Napoleon's justification for his behavior, and more recently, it was a paraphrase of the killer in, I think it was Sweden or Norway, about 7 years ago, who attacked a camp, a progressive camp, and a school, and killed 77 people.
Oh, that's right.
The crazy neo-Nazi. He quoted that too. That he was trying to save his country, and he was.
Yeah, thank you, Pat. Appreciate it. 855-752-4842. Donald Trump saying those phrases that I don't want to talk it out of turn, but I don't have it in front of me. Something if you're not breaking the law, if you save the country, right? I mean, that is just an asinine, anti-democratic, authoritarian position. Go ahead, Harvey.
I want to check with Jess. How much time we got here?
About a minute and a half.
Okay, this is the moment. Then let me read FDR's words.
All right.
This is what he said accepting renomination for president in 1936 in a stadium with like 100,000 Democrats and working people in attendance. These economic royalists, by the way, they had organized against him. They wanted to bring him down and they failed. These economic royalists complain that we seek to overthrow the institutions of America. What they really complain of is that we seek to take away their power. And listen to this, he says, our allegiance to American institutions requires the overthrow of that kind of power.
Absolutely. Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy at the University of Wisconsin-Green Bay. The past is present. What will the future bring? Well, the next future, the future of the next segment is tell us something good. We know that's going to come down. You can do it as well. Join us. Tell us something good. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. One last segment for your thoughts. And Harvey K., come back with us.
News from the Center, WRCE. Hey, it's me time at Chula Vista. Time for you to pamper yourself. Wisconsin's most complete resort experience has everything you want. Fine-tuned for 70 years by four generations of the Kaminsky family, Chula Vista can be easygoing with colorful scenic river walks, 18 holes of classic golf, a relaxing spa, or you can go all out in 80,000 square feet of indoor water park. Zip lining through canyon views in Chula's Aerial Adventure Park. And dining comes any way you like it. From pizza to Wisconsin's number one ranked steakhouse. More than 600 guest rooms to choose from with $10 million in updates. Chula Vista, everything you've been wanting, all right here on site. Check it out at ChulaVistaResort.com.
Miles and miles of freshly groomed cross-country and hiking trails. Ski, sled, snowshoe. Warm up at our indoor water park. ChulaVistaResort.com.
Let's get back to live music in the lair with Kaylin Cole. The next song you have for us tonight is called 1103. Yes. Is that a time or a flight number?
Oh, that's actually really good. That's a good idea. I think I might have to write another song with that. You'll get 50%.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at MaxIncRadio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
This is News from the Setter, WRCE.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-Civic Hour. Last segment, just PS on the board. Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy from the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. We're going to wrap it up by telling you something good. If you got something good to say, give us a call. Shoot us a text, 855-75-Civic. Harvey, I'm going to start with you, man. As the guest of honor today, what do you got? You got something good to share with everybody, man?
Okay, well, I'll just say, here we are in Sarasota, Florida. This is the 53rd anniversary of my wife's and my first date.
Oh, that's great, man.
Which was in London at a really remarkable pub. And tonight we are going out to a place called the Old Salty Dog, a really great place. And we're going to get grouper sandwiches. How do you like that?
I love it. Congratulations.
Key lime
happy
pie for dessert.
Anniversary. Yeah, key lime pie.
Quite likely. Quite likely.
Harvey's been texting us pictures of his food all week. I'm so hungry even right now thinking about it. I didn't know there were so many ways to make key lime pie. That's a positive thing.
And a lot of them in jars.
Right? A little easier, I guess. Hey, Harvey, that's awesome, man. Congratulations. Hope you guys have a wonderful time.
Although I won't be with you next Monday at this time, because that's when the Florida veterans are having their annual Thomas Paine party, and I'm giving the grand toast. I will record that toast and make sure you guys have it.
Excellent, man. I cannot wait. That is awesome. How about you, Jess? You got something good to share?
Of course I do. This weekend, 2 days in a row, I got to spend more than an hour sitting on a couch, looking at the snow, and reading a book. And not just a book, a novel.
Oh!
Not news, not a textbook, a novel.
Not your
a
phone?
A story.
With paper? A book with paper?
Oh, a lot of pages, yeah.
A lot this of pages, is, yeah.
This is a Brandon Sanderson novel, so there are a lot of pages. I've got the big book version, which has about 1,400 pages.
Oh, damn. Don't hurt yourself.
Can I ask?
Yeah.
Did you stay awake the full hour each day?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Good. More power to you.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, that's a nice feeling. It was, mm-hmm. Yeah, the sun. I know you're down in the sunshine state there, Harvey, but we have a little bit of snow up here the last couple of days. So, bring the sun back with you when you come. All right. I'll just share this one out there as well. Last night, I got to watch the 50th anniversary presentation of Saturday Night Live. And, I mean, this thing started in 75, and as we talked about earlier in the show, I mean, it was great. I mean, we were kids back then. It was only three channels on. It was groundbreaking, and, your parents sometimes didn't want you watching it, you know what I mean? And it was great, and I'm not really a starstruck guy, but it was great to see all the folks, and, I mean, hell, Bill Murray was there, It was just a lot of fun. And then this morning, as I was up and perusing, the headlines, and I got to the Atlantic. And they got a piece that says, "Do it for Gilda Radner. The too short life of a comedy genius is a reminder to the rest of us how to make good use of the time we are given." I'm just going to read the last two paragraphs here. Atlantic, they can be a little long sometime. We're going to run a little short. Gene Wilder from Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. Him and Gilda Radner, they were married for only 5 years before she died at the age of 42 of ovarian cancer. And today, she is remembered as much for the unfairness of her young death, like Belushi before her and Chris Farley after her, as she is for her originality and spectacular talent. In a gentler world, all three of them would still be with us. Radner and Belushi would be in their 70s, Farley in his 60s. In a gentler world, Radner could have all the babies she wished for, made all the movies she never got to, and would still be making people laugh. When I think about Radner now, what I think about most is the way she lived and how that ought to be a lesson to the rest of us. She had a sense of total urgency and a willingness to do the things that terrified her. Somehow she made it look easy. Quote, "I don't know why I'm doing it," she once said in an interview about why she'd chosen to take her act to Broadway. "Except for some reason, I've chosen to scare myself to death." That was Gilda Radner. Gilda, who as a child once overheard her mother saying Gilda could sell ice cubes in winter, and so set up a little stand outside just to do that. Gilda, who loved work so much that she'd get impatient on the way to NBC Studios and ask her taxi drivers to speed up already. Gilda, who fell in love easily and often and wasn't afraid to be weird or look ridiculous. Gilda, who would make anything funny. But her real legacy, it turns out, is something much more profound than her comedy. This is the lesson of Gilda Radner's too short life. For God's sake, don't bother with fear. Just go for the thing you want with your whole heart. Each of us gets only so much time on this planet, and none of us knows for how long. Life can be terrible this way and sad, and it isn't fair at all. But it is funny, anyway. Really, really funny. Gilda Radner. Just awesome. She was so damn funny. And I forget until I saw some of these skits from last night how funny she was. Rosanna, Dana, I know you're not getting some of this, Jess, but we'll catch you up.
No, I know that one.
I was touched to move when I read the whole piece. We'll put it in the show notes from The Atlantic, so you want to remember and appreciate Gilda Radner and her contribution. And I'm down with, come on, forget about the fear, folks. Live life. And it's funny. It is funny. And it's tragic. And it's sad. But mostly, it's funny.
Indeed.
Harvey K. Any last words, my friend?
I'm applauding your words.
Thank you, man. Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy from the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. We will not talk next Monday, but do a great job, man. Look forward to hearing your toast. Appreciate what you do, my friend. Jess P.S. on the board. Thank you. Glad you got to read a couple hours of your novel. You know, sometimes my wife, Steph, falls asleep in bed when she's reading it, and the book kind of falls on her. So be careful that a book that size can hurt if it falls on your face. Folks, stick around now. Nightlight with Pete Schwabe is coming up next. We will see you here tomorrow. Have a wonderful evening.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. Pete Schwabe.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Milwaukee film critic Matt Miller and Northeast Wisconsin hip-hop artist and musician Matt Harper joins me in studio. We're going to light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 till 8. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Marquette University professor and pollster extraordinaire Charles Franklin.
Deporting immigrants who are in the U.S. illegally. 60% support that. But when we ask the same question and just add at the end, including those with jobs and no criminal record, then support drops to just 43%.
Wisconsinites have a sense of fairness.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Something to talk about for the rest of their lives. What happened to the 80 crew and passengers aboard a Delta flight from Minneapolis landing in Toronto today? One passenger.
We just landed. Our plane crashed. It's upside down.
The plane flipped over and caught fire, yet all aboard survived. Some went to the hospital. ABC News aviation consultant Steve Ganyard.
You can see the winds. The gusts were at least over 35s. Even now, they're over 50 in Toronto. There was snow on the runway. Anytime the runway is slick, they'll look at that.
A federal judge is expected to rule within a day after expressing skepticism about a request by states to block Elon Musk's government efficiency office from accessing sensitive databases and firing employees. Protests to the Musk firings.
Elon Musk has got to go.
All across the nation, this outside the Capitol in Washington, others in Boston, Tampa, and elsewhere. Flood emergencies continue in Kentucky. This is ABC News.